First of all, I'd like to congratulate Ramon for his birthday indeed, and the organizer for giving me the opportunity to give this talk. My talk is just, as Jerzy said, a continuation of the work we are carrying out in real life on harmonium. And it basically mainly consists of these few topics you see here. I will really make a very brief talk because most of it has already been said. The method has already been developed. The interest of this system has been already explained in the first talk of this session and also in the third one. So I guess I have not much more to say rather than to already go into the three electron system. As Jerzy said, here we have no longer an analytical solvable system. We still can separate the intracule and the extracule motions, but when we have this intracule motion, the one we're interested in, we have to do some numerical or algebraic calculation. We cannot really overcome it. So, in our case, we are dealing with three electrons, so we have a different ground state that turns out to be a doublet, which, as you shall see, is slightly different from an ordinary atom. First, you of course put electrons on the 1-2s shell, but then, instead of populating the 2s shell, you populate the 2p shell. So that's slightly different from an ordinary atom. And we also want to study another state, which is the first excited state, this one in which we promote one of these electrons in s orbitals to another p orbital. So those here are the features which make different the approach with respect to the two electron case. First of all, we mentioned that the quartet converges much faster than the doublet as we approach from a given angular momentum, and for that angular momentum we put as many bases set as we can, and we find that in it. Also, the good news is that the alpha and beta, those parameters in the basis set, follow very simple empirical equations. So this means both we can use the previous results as a guess for this calculation, and also that we are still on the basis of finding some bases which we can use in general. And two important differences concerning the procedure. As you notice, now what will be our dominant configuration is populating p orbitals. So in a sense, we need to go farther in the angular momentum. Before, we're using SPD and SPDF functions. Now we need to go farther and we'll use SPD, SPDF, and SPDFG functions. So that will make the calculation, of course, most closely, but it will reduce it a little bit somehow. We shall see that in a moment. And also, the second difference is the limits. The present limitation of the system, as Jerzy said, it's this bound here, which previously used to be this value here. For the confinement parameter, we could not go farther because of the linear dependency, and now it turns out to be slightly higher, around 0.1. But still, we have a broad range of confinement parameters to test, quite a bit beyond, it's a bit beyond what is supposed to have in, let's say, normal electron, let's say, what would be the normal electron correlation in an ordinary atom. So, that's the technical details which differ from the previous approach. First of all, we want to avoid that previous extrapolation to the limit of the basis set for a given angular momentum, because if we did so, we have to do 8 SPDFG function calculations, and those are really very costly. So instead, we replace that approach by this extrapolation here, in which we only need the number of limits equal 3 and 4. So actually, this already gives the number of calculations we need. Instead of 15, now we deal with 17. We have these two additional calculations. For the doublet state, we use the previous rule of previous formula by Kurzelnik to approach the limit, the CDS limit. But in the case of quartet, since we are dealing with a high state spin case, we have to use this formula here, which depends not on the inverse of the third power of the angular momentum, but on the fifth power. And so far, the method, and I just need to go into the results. So here you have the collection of calculations we have for SP, SPDF, SP, SPD, and SPDF. I just skipped those for G functions, actually because of space, but I mean, they don't do not that much here. And you have for different number of primitive and different angular momentum all these values, and you can see as we go down into the number of primitive, we approach the limit, which we in the end extrapolate. And in this slide, I showed the second extrapolation part in which we go from a given angular momentum farther into G functions. As you shall see here, we have less number of confinement parameters because we are bounded now by this value, 0.1. And those are the results we can see. The first column, it concerns the extrapolation scheme as it was defined for the two electron system, so using SP, SPD, and SPDF functions. And the second column contains the same extrapolation scheme but shifting, so SPD, SPDF, and SPDFG functions. As you shall see, if we compare with the only available calculations for three electron system, which are these Monte Carlo results, if we use only up to F functions, the results are not really very close to these results of Monte Carlo. But if instead we use up to G functions, then we got precision close to a fourth decimal place in all cases. So it's something like 50 microhertz, the error we are committing by using this approximation. That was for the doubled state, and we can also see similar things for the quark. That's very light transparency, that's also very light transparency, so let's go to the interesting one, which is the one of the results. And these final extrapolated results again show the same thing. Here we get even higher accuracy because now we are dealing with this quartet state, which in a sense is physically simpler. Here we don't have exchange, Coulomb exchange, you only have alpha electrons. So the physics of the system is simpler in a sense, and we believe that's the reason why we get even higher accuracy. You can compare these three Monte Carlo results against the ones we can compete with, and you see that in the end we get better approximation than before. So just to end up, to mention that if we compare, let's say, those values of confinement parameters which we know against those which we have calculated, we see that the errors are between 50 microhertz, that's for the doublet, or 10 microhertz, to be compared with few microhertz, as it was the case in two electron species. Also, this approach is really an effective tool to calculate benchmark calculations. So we are really going for benchmark calculations. In the end, the idea is that when we have this basis set optimized and we know a general formula, then you only need 15 or 17 of those calculations to produce normal regular calculations in these systems. The accuracy really depends on these extrapolation techniques. As you saw, we changed slightly the extrapolation technique when going from 2 to 3 to make the method cheaper. But of course, if you want, let's say, higher accuracy, we can also work out this extrapolation scheme, and we probably will, let's say, grab some more decimal places. We need to use, let's say, angular momentum according to, let's say, the population of the dominant configuration. That's kind of normal to understand. So in a sense, when we go to higher number of electrons, we may need, let's say, to work out a little bit of extrapolation scheme, but we know a general way to do it. And also that this methodology, as I have already mentioned, provides accuracy of about tens of microhertz in most of cases. So I shall acknowledge the previous speaker and of course also the funding that this has permitted me to give this talk. Thank you very much.
Any questions? Yes? Yate?
I have a question to the last two speakers actually. Do you consider using perturbation as a kind of reference for your electron calculations? Because I think that the limit of large omega is the limit of small correlation. The perturbation expansion should be quite fast converted, and then you have complete basis set of exact solutions, and the only integrals you have to calculate are Gaussian one center integrals. So I think it's quite easy and not complicated to go to high orders of perturbation expansion.
Well, we haven't considered that possibility that we need to do it. But then of course we'd be limited to some small range of confinement parameters, I guess. No?
From omega equal 1/2 up to infinity.
Yeah. Maybe I can elaborate a little bit. That would work probably for omegas greater than 100 to get accuracy of 10 to minus 6 hertz. But convergence is actually not really. I mean, we confirmed what he said. We looked in some previous work actually before we started this work on dwell-electron harmonium, and convergence is not that fast. So it's not like you gain order of magnitude with each orbit, for example. So we would have to go to quite high, I mean it's algebraically possible, but then you get multiple summations and it's quite inconvenient to do it this way.
Yes.
2 feet, 2 feet, it's not just a clock state associated with it, but also a doublet state. Can you calculate the energy of the doublet state and what would it be?
Yeah, of course. But that's not the first law of Einstein.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. Charles, thank you very much.
I'm sorry.
This is a short one.
Yeah.
Is there a simple explanation why the double S state is not the ground state or the process state? What is the destabilizing factor for the S state?
Why the double is more stable on the port?
Why the S state? Why the S
state? It's filled first on the orbital. Why? I don't know any explanation. I think it just turns out to be like that. I don't understand. You know any explanation?
Well, I don't think there's a simple explanation for that.
Okay, let's thank all the speakers again.